Hear now God's word. I read you first from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalm 118. I read the first two verses, then verses 19 to 29. Hear God speak to us through his written word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gate of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become a capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made the light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And our second reading comes from the New Testament, from John's Gospel. John's account of the first Palm Sunday. It's in chapter 12 of his Gospel, reading from verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Amen. And thanks be to God for his most precious word.
For hundreds of years, the fifth Sunday in Lent always marked the start of a two-week season in the life of the church, which was called Passiontide. It would have started last Sunday with what people called Passion Sunday, and it would have lasted right up until dawn on Easter Day. The name Palm Sunday is also ancient, and it was on that Sunday that the story of the Passion was read, beginning with Christ's entry into Jerusalem, which we heard this morning. The mid-20th century changes in the Roman calendar began to fuse the two names together, and the names now are largely interchangeable. So this is Passion or Palm Sunday. And in many churches and traditions in the world, the whole of the Passion narrative is read every year on this Sunday. And of course, it's not a story for the faint-hearted. History records that Roman punishment was of a pretty brutal and ruthless variety. If you fell foul of the authorities, which could be over a whole number of things, you were likely to face prison, slavery, or crucifixion. The Roman authorities looked on punishment as a deterrent, so a sign indicating someone's crime seems to have been pretty commonplace. If a prisoner was to be killed in an amphitheatre in front of a crowd, a placard indicating their crime was sometimes carried in front of the prisoner, a bit like a notice announcing the next round in a boxing ring. Or sometimes the crime would simply be written on a placard, which was then hung around a prisoner's neck. In Jesus' case, though, it seems to have been nailed to the cross above him. Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. Famously, of course, the argument between Pilate and the Jews was recorded. Pilate should have written, so the Jewish crowd argued, that Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews, not that he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate refused to do an about-turn. "What I have written, I have written," he famously said. Now, inevitably, there have been numerous discussions and debates around why Pilate might have said what he said. But either way, it's a question that's equally relevant now, and especially relevant even to us over the days of the coming week. Which do we say? Do we say Jesus is Lord? Or do we say Jesus said he was Lord? All the difference in the world on one hand, with an objective record of what someone said, and on the other hand, a statement of living faith and belief. Is Jesus a charismatic figure from history, or the embodiment of a creator God? And familiar though the Passion story is, what does it mean to us? What does it really mean? Is it an interesting piece of historical narrative? Or is it a life-changing moment of present encounter? Is it a glimpse of life in a culture and bygone age? Or does it speak directly to us across the centuries? When we see the cross, when we think of the cross, do we look on as curious and interested bystanders, or as people being transformed, really being changed by what we're witnessing, by what we're imagining and reading, by the story and the reality that's unfolding before us once again over this coming week? George MacLeod of the Iona community wrote these words: "I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the centre of the marketplace, as well as on the steeple of the church. Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves on the town garbage heap, at a crossroads so cosmopolitan that they had to write his name in Hebrew and Latin and Greek, at the kind of place where the cynics talk smut and the thieves curse and soldiers gamble, because that is where churchmen should be and what churchmen should be about." Challenging words. So this Holy Week, churchmen or not, where will we find ourselves standing? Inside of a church from a safe vantage point, looking reflectively back across 2,000 years of history? Or at the foot of the cross, looking up? Who will we find ourselves standing with? With the accusers? With the crowds cheering? With the people happy to be there, provided the demands on them weren't too great? With the deniers, or with the sceptical, or with the faithful? And what will we find ourselves looking at? At a man wrongly convicted for things he didn't do and paying the ultimate price, one of countless people throughout the years? These are the questions that Palm or Passion Sunday beg us to answer, and answer for ourselves, not for anyone else, because this is personal. It's very personal, in fact. So think about the Palm Sunday story again and the Passion narrative, and perhaps in a quiet moment, even spend some time thinking and wondering about how these words sound to you. Amen.